Tonight I'd just like to leave with you the Psalm 126. It's a Psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And I have walked in thy truth, have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honour dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and the right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. There's a lot in this psalm. Even though it's only 12 verses long, you can see that it's full of activity, full of verbs. There is one theme that appears to stand out with some prominence. It is the activity of walking. David refers to his walking, his step on a number of occasions. His feet. Verse 1, I have walked in mine integrity. He talks about his feet not sliding, therefore I shall not slide. Verse 3, I have walked in thy truth. And then in verse 4 he says, neither will I go. He's thinking of movement, motion here with his feet. He'll not go in with dissemblers. And then in verse 6, so will I compass thine altar. This is going about the altar, walking around the altar. His feet are in view here. And then he talks again in verse 11, I will walk in mine integrity. And then in verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. So there's all this motion, this idea of movement, David's forward step. He's moving on with the Lord. He's walking with God. And that's really what I want to draw your attention to tonight. David's step, his walk. And we're especially thinking about David's feet in this psalm. Now, there are many other areas of his humanity and his devotion to God that he refers to, some here and many in other psalms. He talks about his reins and his heart. Talks about his eyes and his hands and his voice. He focuses on some of those aspects here in this psalm, but mainly it's about his feet, his walk, this godly forward movement. It is a walk in integrity. He says that in verse 1, I have walked in mine integrity. I remind you, David is addressing God. He's telling the Lord this. He's telling the Lord about his walk. I wonder, can we do that? Are we able to tell the Lord about our walk? Is it something that we're not ashamed of it? We have to leave the subject out. We have to avoid the talk about the walk with the Lord because, well, we know it's not been a good walk. Are we able to talk to the Lord about our walk? Have a good conscience about our conduct? David had. He was able to say to the Lord how his walk was progressing. It was a walk in integrity, in uprightness. He says that at the start. And then he says it again at the end. I will walk in mine integrity. And so the idea is repeated, but there's a difference in the sense. At the start he's referring to the past. I've walked in mine integrity. And then at the end, in verse 11, he resolves to continue thus to walk. I will walk in mine integrity. So he is looking back at the start of the psalm. He's looking forward at the end of the psalm. I have, I will. I wonder, can we talk like that? I have. I've walked with God. And I will walk with God. Walking in his integrity. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, a just man walketh in his integrity. This is just an honest, simple walk. A walk with uprightness, a walk without plotting and scheming, without that kind of intrigue and sneakiness that so many have characterizing their walk. It's the opposite of a proud walk. It's the walk of just doing what is right. It's a walk of innocence. The psalmist is just walking an honest daily life, just going from day to day, doing what's right, doing it in its simplicity, doing it without display, doing it in his integrity and innocency, doing it as unto the Lord. This word integrity is variously translated in the scriptures, but the word that I particularly like is the word simplicity. I've walked in my simplicity. Indeed, he's capable of mistake, but he never makes that mistake with an evil, scheming purpose. The man who walks in his simplicity may err. He may even go astray. David is not saying that he's infallible. He's not saying that he's without sin. But what he is saying is that he has a walk that is not having any scheming in it, not having any evil design in it. It's not a walk to either promote himself or to hurt others. It's just a walk of innocency and simplicity. And that's what God looks at. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. David said in another psalm, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with the perfect heart. So it's a walk in integrity. But then notice secondly that it's a walk without sliding. Because he says, I've trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. By saying this, David is of course referring to his steps, his feet. The verb in the Bible is most often associated with a man's step. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Psalm 18 verse 36, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. So David is thinking about the stability of his steps. David is concerned about backsliding, as all God's people are. We should all be concerned about it. We should be concerned that we're making progress, going forward. But we should also be concerned that we're not going backwards. We're not slipping back. David's concerned about it. He's resolved against it, going back, against slipping, against sliding. That's one thing he's dead against. That's one thing he doesn't want. He says, I've trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. I don't want to slide, and I'm looking to the Lord that he'll keep me from sliding. I want to walk in simplicity and integrity and uprightness, and I want to make sure that I don't slide, and I'm trusting in the Lord. The Lord's the only one who can keep us from sliding. And David seems to have the assurance that he won't slide. He has this confidence that the Lord will keep him. If he trusts in God, God will keep him. He's that confident. He's not running about afraid, worrying about slipping. He is guarding against it. How does he do that? By trusting in the Lord. He's trusting in the Savior to keep him from slipping. He knows that the Lord is one who keeps his people. He knows the song of Hannah. What did Hannah say? He will keep the feet of his saints. The Lord keeps our steps. The Lord keeps us from backsliding. The Lord keeps us from sliding. And we have to look to him to do that, to trust in him. This means that we carefully use all the means of grace. While the Lord keeps us from sliding, he does so in our way of obediently using the means of grace. Trusting in the Lord. Seeking his face. Praying and reading his word. And so David has this confidence, not self-confidence, but his confidence in his Savior. And he is obedient in the means of progressing with God. And so he's trusting in the Lord. He's honest and sincere. He leans upon God. You remember that picture of the one coming up out of the wilderness? What is she doing? She's leaning upon her beloved. And so this one who trusts in the Lord, he dare not take one step without the Savior, hand in hand with Christ, leaning on God. And that's the way to progress. That's the only way to prevent you from slipping backwards. Keeping your eyes on the Savior. Keeping your thoughts directed towards the Lord. Looking to Him at all times. Hold thou my hand. So weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Savior, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid. So that's the language David is using when he says, I put my trust in thee, I slide not. He's asking the Lord to hold his hand so that he doesn't slide. Like Abraham. Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't slipping and falling all over the place. He didn't stagger, but he was strong in faith. Faith in God. Faith in the promises. Faith in his Savior. And therefore he didn't slip. He didn't stagger about. And David is the same. He'll not slide because he's trusting in the Lord. So it's a walk in integrity. It's a walk without sliding. It's also a walk in the divine truth. Because he says there in verse 3, I have walked in thy truth. What truth is that? Well, David knows very well, and he tells us about it often enough in the Psalms. It's the word of God. It's the scriptures that David possesses. It's the word of the Lord. Thy law is the truth, as Psalm 119 tells us. All the Psalms have been deliberately arranged to have Psalm 1 at the entrance door. And there we see, of course, the blessed man. And what is it? He's a man going on with God. He's a man sure and steadfast. He's a man who's growing and progressing and prospering. And how is he able to do this? Because he's walking in the Word. He's meditating in the Word there in day and night. He's leaning on Christ. He's leaning on the Word. He's going hand in hand with the Savior. He's also going hand in hand with the truth. He's walking in the truth. The man who walks with Christ walks with the Bible in his heart. He walks in the truth. Christ-centered, Bible-centered. Why do so many backslide? Why do so many make little progress? Sometimes it's a question of integrity and honesty and childlike simplicity, and that harmlessness, that's gone. And that goes. Whenever a man becomes filled with intrigue and with bitterness, and he's on the slide. But a walk in simplicity prevents that. Sometimes it may be a question of his faith and trust. Is he leaning on the Lord? Is he rested in God? Has he looked to the Lord to hold him? Has he been praying? Has he been seeking? Has he been saying, Lord, hold thou my hand so that I don't slide? It may be a question of his faith and trust. It may just be a question of his neglected Bible. Attempting to walk without the Word. Attempting to walk and yet neglecting the divine truth. Walking, but no path to walk in, not walking in the way of truth, in the truth of God's Word, not reading, not studying the Scriptures. If you're not walking in the Word, you're not walking with God. And if you're not walking with God, you're not trusting in God. And if you're not trusting in God, your feet will slide. And so David knows he needs the divine truth to walk in. I will walk in thy truth. As he says in other Psalms, O send out thy light and thy truth, Lord. Let them lead me. Let them bring me in onto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So you see how David is always making much of the truth. This is the truth of God. This is the truth of God's Word. He's making much of the Word. You'll not make progress without the Word. Only the Word will keep you from sliding. So he's walked in this integrity. He's walked so as not to slide. He's walked in the divine truth. You'll notice that in this walk, he is determined that it is a walk of separation and distance from ungodly company and ungodly societies. You notice verses 4 and 5 there. What does he say? I'm not set with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. So here is David, and he's talking about the places where his feet will not bring him, the places where he will not go. He will not go in with dissemblers. He'll not go to the congregation of evildoers. He'll not sit down with the wicked. He'll not be seeking out their company so as to have communion with them and fellowship with them. And so I draw your attention to those verbs in those verses that I just read. And one is repeated, the verb to sit. Of course, whenever you're sitting, you're not walking, you're not progressing. Whenever you're sitting, you have no step. Whenever you sit, the step has stopped and ceased. And David says, I'm not going to sit with vain persons. The progress will stop then if I sit with them. There'll be no steps for God then if I sit in the congregation of evildoers and sit with the wicked. And so he's refusing to lose his step in his company with the ungodly, because if you go into evil company, your walk will cease. You'll be sitting with the wicked, and your walk will cease, and you'll make no progress for God at all. This is what David is talking about. And so he refuses to lose his step. Again, he brings in this, I have thy will. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I have not sat with vain persons. He's talking about his past. I haven't sat with them. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. And then he's talking about his future. Neither will I go in with them, and I will not sit with them. So he's reinforcing this idea of the past. This is the way he's walked in the past. It's not been a walk in with evil company, and this is my determination for the future. I won't go in. I won't sit with them. My walk is not going to be in that direction at all. And so David here is saying that his walk is going to be a separated walk. And that's so important in the Christian experience. Yes, you have to walk in simplicity. Yes, you have to walk in the divine truth. Yes, you have to walk in a trusting in God at all times and a depending upon Him that you won't backslide. But you also have to be determined that you'll lead a walk of separation. That you'll not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, as the very opening of the Psalter tells us. And not standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Do you see that very first verse in the Psalms? There's this walk, and it's a walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the wrong direction. That's going to lead to stopping. He's soon standing, and then he's sitting. There's no walk at all anymore. He's just sitting in the seat of the scornful. David doesn't want that. He knows there'll be no progress with God if that's the way he goes. And so he's determined not to go near the place of the ungodly. We have to live the separated life. We can't enter in, as it were, into their counsel. We can't make them our friends. And so this is a fundamental part of David's walk with God. You see also there in verses 9 and 10. He is repeating these ideas towards the end of the psalm. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. So here's a walk that is determined that it'll not be taken up in fellowshipping with the ungodly. And so he definitely prays against this. He prays, Lord, keep me. Don't let my soul ever want to go to be in their fellowship with sinners and with wicked men. And of course we have to keep ourselves from the world. And this doesn't only mean the company of people. It can mean their writings. It can mean their counsels, either by book or on means of the media. The people of God can get caught up in all the things that the ungodly present, and they want their minds to be sucked into. And so it's a life of separation. They have to walk separate. If not a gathering into the assemblies of the wicked, is there any place then where his feet can go? He won't go into the company of the ungodly, but where does his feet go? We're thinking about his movement. He's walking in simplicity, he's walking in truth. He's not walking with the ungodly, and he's not going to the congregations of the ungodly. Is there anywhere where he particularly delights to go? Is there anywhere where he wants his feet to particularly be found, moving and progressing? Yes, of course, he states it there in verse 8. Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honour dwelleth. And so we see here there is a place where he does love to go, God's house. You'll see there in verse 6, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Now the altar in God's house is at the heart of God's worship. David here is speaking about the public place of worship, the tabernacle. David's there, at least as close as he can get to it. He can get into the tabernacle near the brazen altar. He can go, that's as far as he can go because he's not a priest. He can't go into the holy tent itself. But he can walk around, he can encompass the altar, he can surround the altar. And his steps bring him then into God's house. Psalm 43, verse 4, then will I go on to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my King. David can get in there and see, and he can surround it in heart and spirit. And he can be part of the worship of God in his house. How he loves his house. No walk with God can leave that out. If you want to walk with God, if you're walking in truth, if you're walking in simplicity and in your integrity, if you're walking so as not to be sliding, then you'll be going to God's house. You'll be going to the place where his word is proclaimed and where his people meet. The altar is very important in David's life. Why is the altar central? Why is he compassing the altar? Because Christ is central. And the altar makes us think about Christ crucified, about the place of atonement, about the sacrifice. Now, we have no altar today, but we have Christ. We compass Christ. We compass the Calvary. Our feet will bring us to the cross. Our feet will bring us to the Savior. We don't have an altar, but we have a table. We have a communion table. And our walk includes the Lord's table and the fellowship in God's house. The last verse tells us where David's foot rests. You see it there in verse 12. What does he say? My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. And so this is where David's foot stands. In an even place. There can be no step without a solid foundation. David here is talking about plain and level ground. It's hard to walk over rough terrain, stony ground, ground with many obstacles and hurdles and quicksand and slippy ground. No, but David wants a good foundation. That's what he's telling us. He had been in the quicksand. He'd been in the miry clay. He'd been in the horrible pit. He'd been in sinking sand, but now he's found his feet upon a solid rock, and his goings are established. Psalm 40 is all about that, and that's where David's foot rests, on an even place, on a solid foundation, on a firm footing in Christ. He's standing in Christ. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The believer is walking in Christ. He's walking on firm ground. He's walking on solid ground. He's on a good foundation. His goings are established on the rock. Walking in Christ. And while it's true that Christ is the foundation, in the absolute sense, the context also includes the church life. Because at the end of verse 12 there says, my foot standeth in an even place in the congregations. Will I bless the Lord. So the even place here is the church as well, the place of meeting, the place of fellowship, the assemblies of the saints. And of course, the church should provide an even place. It should focus on Christ. It should focus on the Word. It should provide all that the people of God need to be able to walk with God. All the essentials of the means of grace are found there, so that the man who goes there will find a firm footing, a firm foundation for his feet. And he'll be able to walk easily with God. He'll be able to progress with God. Be able to bless God. So David sees his feet as in the church, as in the house of God. And there he's loyal and faithful and serving God. I wonder, is this all true of us? Are we concerned about our step? Do we think about our walk with God the way David here thinks of his walk with God? Do we pray about it the way David prays about his walk with God? You know, this is a great psalm. You should pray it to the Lord. You should go over it again and again and turn it into prayer to God, and it will help you in your walk with the Lord. You'll be amazed at how it will do your soul good and how it will encourage you. May the Lord just make these few words just a blessing to your soul. The Lord be with you. To Jesus Christ, our Savior, be all glory. Amen.